Y and 4OVQ.
4OVQ, CHY, go ahead, sir.
I called you a little earlier just to see, did you get your radio and get it took care of? Over.
I got it, not fully taken care of yet. Ran into a little issue on the laptop there. And, see all the settings, but I'm getting there slowly but surely.
Well, I went in, I took me a little nap, tried to make a big decision where I wanted to go on up town or not, and I felt like I just didn't want to walk all around in that hotness up there, over. Motorola. They was all on the same repeater down here at the local mall where I work, and the mall has gave them to me, which I don't have a repeater for, but they all will communicate with each other.
We talked before. It's been a while. I think that Motorola's, I think somebody's got to really know what to do. You got to have the software to program those, I think. But I don't know about the other radios. Not familiar with them. But, yeah, I could hear them every once. I'd have to get kind of, I'm down here off Brown Road. I'd have to get kind of close to the mall to hear them, but I could hear them on my scanner. I know, but I don't remember the frequencies and that sort of thing, unless they change to something else. But anyway, Keith, what you doing today? You working on DMR?
And those tech radios he's talking about, they're a little like pocket-sized DMR radios. That's why we're interested in them, but I cannot find programming software for those things on the internet. Everything I come across, people that sell them, they'll program them for you. And we've checked into the Motorola software before. Man, it just it's expensive. Yeah, unless you've had a handful of them, I don't think it'd be worth buying the software to do it with them.
But I've always understood is you might be able to find somebody to do it if you got the right software, but it's, they don't give that software away. They don't like people. They don't non-repair people or that kind of, they don't want them to have them anyway. But, okay, DMR radios, that'll be somebody that has that software to them. Now, that's the ones I'm thinking about now. They can miss thousands of those things out there.
Radio was on Brown Road. I'm just trying to think. I can't remember. I'm just trying to think who you are, just to tell you the truth, Brown Road. I talk to very little people this year in Anderson,
Oak. I'm up here off Driftwood Drive, just off Brown, right below, about a mile and a half from Sam's, maybe. There's another ham over here close to me, and I think he's in Green Hills. There's somebody back, I can't think of the name of the road now. I want to say it's, it's kind of off of, I believe it's kind of off, there's a road off Little Creek down there, and there's somebody that's got a, looks like they got a tower in the backyard up that way somewhere, but I can't remember the exact road they were on, but I don't know whether it's a ham or somebody else down there, but he's got, looks like he's got some verticals up. I didn't see any wire antennas, anything like that.
If you go up Brown Road, I'm trying to think of the name of that road. Like you going towards 81, how do you get through that turnabout and go up there about a mile on the left? You cut across and you come out over there on the, over the Mercy. My niece lived over there and I can't, that road would go on up and go by Cromer's if you cut across Brown Road and go over to there. And there's a guy up there on the left that's got a tower up, but I ain't never understood what kind of antenna that was, though.
Like I said, I keep digging. I wish I could remember the name right now. It's up there. It's up there at the second roundabout. That's the little one. Yeah, the little one's right there where my subdivision is. But the second one up there where Cromer's is, we go around and go to the left. There's somebody down on the right hand side of the road down when you go down that direction. Stacy, and it's on the right down there. It's kind of tucked away back here. And there's another guy on down further down the road there where you cross the bridge. Now, he's got a CB, CB beam and antenna out there, but that's not the one I'm talking about. It's on up further than the tower's in the guy's, looks like it's kind of in the guy's backyard. It looked to me like a vertical of some kind or another, or maybe more than one, but I don't know who that might be. But there's several hams over this here, but there's a lot of them on the other side. I mean, there's more than a few of them on the other side of town. I talked to Roger N5CSA, pretty often when I hear him on the radio, and he's over around home in the park somewhere over there. There's a couple other guys down there off of, down there Whitehall, too. They didn't mean to hog it up there. Go ahead, Keith, did you go ahead? Did you get it all programmed, or are you still trying to figure out how to do that DMR stuff? It's complicated to me.
I'm pretty familiar with the programming of DMRs in general. This is my first Intone, so a little bit of a learning curve there, but I run across an issue that I've got a little netbook. It's the only Windows machine I have to do this stuff with, and the screen is only like 1024 by 600, so there's some of the screens in the Intone software that the bottom's cut off on it. So, I'm going to have to see about borrowing a cable from work, or I might have one in there. I'm going to dig around after a while and see where I hook it up to one of my external work monitors and see if I can see the whole picture over.
In other words, you better have to guess what they want you to do then. Go ahead, Stacy.
Pro VQ, crossband repeat. I know exactly those two that you're talking about. The first one on the right, that's antennas I wasn't sure about. Then if you go down and go across the bridge, that one up there, he's got a beam up. Back there, it looked like a little shop, back kind of sort of up in the back of his backyard. In that place, that door open on that shop stayed open for a long time, and that place grew up, and it looked like to me that if somebody just up and left, or maybe it got repossessed or something like that. And now it's back up and running, and it looks like who's there now has got some shop business going on up in there, and like they might be in some of the bigger truck work and all. But I always wondered, you know, who that was too. Oh,
and left. Now, he used to have a factory parked out there in the front yard at once, and I'm pretty sure that was 11 meter stuff that guy had, but it did look like it was just abandoned for a while, and now it's all cleaned back up, and whoever it was didn't think it wasn't a very tall tower. It looked like to me it was either a 10 or 11 meter beam. It looked like one of those old, I don't want to call it a moonraker or something like that, one of those old 11-meter moonraker verticals up there, but that's kind of what it looked like to me, but I never did hear, I never did see anybody out there moving around until, recently, the last time I went out there towards Man's Jolly. When I went out that way, it looked like somebody had cleaned up the house over there and it got everything straightened out. I didn't notice the shop being open the last time I went by there, but it was on over in the evening, too, though. Go ahead, Keith.
Stacy, don't you know the gentleman there, on the way to your house, he's got a big tower out beside the house there?
Oh, I can't tell you. Jim Smith is his name. I cannot tell you his call sign, and we talk at the mall all the time, but we never talk on radio. We're about a mile apart, and I do not know his call sign. He's one of them old-timers. I think he's worked all vans. Maybe I think he's got one that he's working on, whatever that is. And I'm going to pin him down when I see him Monday or Tuesday, but I just don't know his call sign. Over.
Didn't realize you talked to him on a regular basis. Every time I come by there on the way to your place, it's like, man, I wish I had that tower. I had one that I bought from Jack Norris up there, and didn't have nobody to move it or get a foundation in for it, so I ended up selling it back. Nice crank up tower, but just couldn't get it all together, so he had somebody else that was interested in it, so I'll let him have it.
It's the guy that we saw at the Lawrenceville Ham Fest, if I'm not mistaken, am I right?
Probably so. I originally met him for the first time when me and you went to down to Greenwood. I was up there getting coffee, and he walked up, and we got to talking. And then he looked at my badge and seen I was in Seneca, and I ended up, going over to the house and all, getting familiar with him, and it seemed like every time we go to a ham fest, I'd end up seeing Jack here again. Go ahead, Jerry.
Got here on the radio every once in a while, off and on, over the last, a year, and his name is Jim, but his call sign is, it may be a vanity call, it may not be the right guy, but his call sign is K9JDP, and he's worked all bands, he's looking for something on one of his worked all states, so that must have been on 160. But, I kind of doubt that's the same guy y'all are talking about, but I may be wrong, and like I said, it may be another Jim.
This one, I think he's got a W call, and I could be wrong. I know he's worked all five bands, but there was something he's still trying to get, and I just don't know. I know he just recently got into FT8, and I see him ever, like on Monday and Tuesdays at the Anderson Mall. So I'll have to talk to him Monday and find out what's going on with him.
See if I got here. See, I'm gonna run down and get my computer and look up that call sign and see if that's the same guy. I bet it's not, though. I bet it's somebody else.
I think I'm gonna get out of here, guys. I'm starting to get mad at me, but I ain't had nothing since breakfast this morning, so I'm about ready for something.
And poor DJ Sleepback, that's not the same guy. This guy lives in Great Court.
Lou Stacy, N4OVQ, N4GUI. I wonder if he got dead battery or something.
That's what happens a lot. I charged my battery up today. I charged it for about 5 hours, and mine was showing about 13.2, Keith, and I charged for about 5 hours, and I showing 13.8. So I think as long as I charge about 5 hours, I don't think I'm gonna overcharge.
In fact, I called them when I went to put this one on this radio here that I'm talking on, because I was wanting to have it charging all the time, and that way if the power went out through bad weather, then I would still have the radio available. And so I called them and asked them specifically about leaving it plugged in all the time, and they said it wouldn't hurt it at all, that between the charger and the first tree, keep it topped off and overcharge it.
You got one of those power controllers. Did you get a power controller with your solar panel? You got it as a package deal, I think, right? You could actually charge them from either connector. I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that at all. I don't know whether they're power from either connector or not. Mine's got the power pole adapter, and I got the 2.5 millimeter power pole adapter to go into the side of the ICOM here, and it also fits some of the other stuff I got. I got a unit and a base scanner that I run sometimes, and yeah, I thought, well, let's see if it works. The unit takes 13.8 too, so if power it for hours at a time, It's just, these batteries are so much quieter, much more quiet than some of the switching power supplies are. I can tell a big difference on receive, on even on this radio when I compare it to the switching supply.
That was kind of the beginnings of why I did that, because I had it on a battery before, and then I got a hold of this one and put it in the line. But yeah, I had a cheap power supply, and it was just about unusable. I bought a cheap, sealed lead acid battery and was using it with a solar charger there for a while. Then I got this set up. It's got a 110 charger with it, so I leave that plugged in. And I've got the solar panel for whenever I get out and do.
Well, he's going to get back in. Well, the charger that I got, it was one to say. They sell with it, I got to make sure it was the same one BioEnergo sells, I guess. And it's, I believe it's a 2-amp. And it'll charge the 3-amp-hour 12-volt. A tiny thing, and they got the 4.5 like I got, and they got a 6, and they got a 9. If I was reading correctly, that charger will work on any of those up to 9-amp. I don't think it'll work on anything. Like the size of the battery. I think he told me you got, 20 amp or a little bigger than that.
20, I'd kind of like to have something around what you have, or maybe even a 9 or a 12. But I do like the convenient size of that 4.5 like you're talking about. It's easy just to pack along with you.
This thing ain't very big at all. I think it's about 2 by 2.5 or something like that, or 2 by 3. It's not very big. It weighs about a pound. And I think the 6-amp is a little bigger. And the guys that I know, I don't know, I can't remember the actual draw off some ICOM and hit a 2-meter mobile rig, but I think you can run 25. I think you probably run 25 watts off a 6-amp, but I don't know what that maximum current draw is on it. I know you probably weren't familiar with the heavier supplies, but I know that's what I was looking at when I had that D710, was running one of those instead of running the power supply out there. And I kept thinking I was going to buy one 4 or 5 different times. I just never did it. And, like I said, they're expensive, but so far I've been real pleased with it. That voltage just didn't drop much at all.
I've not really looked at the draw on it, in a lot of situations. I know when we had that tornado come through here, we got out of power for a week, and it pretty much kept me going the whole time. Of course, by that time the weather was over with. I didn't need much power information afterwards.
A Honda 2200 generators, it cranks pretty easy, but you won't run for that. But like you say, by the time you get everything dug out and get it fueled up, a lot of stuff has gone by. So I thought the same thing. I said, portable battery supply is a good idea to have, especially one like these, instead of having a jail cell or lead acid or anything else. It's got all kinds of other problems, plus being heavy. So trying to pick up a concrete block, so they come heavy too on top of that.
That steel lead acid I got, it lasted, I did get a couple of years out of it, but when it died, it went flat. It was working and then it was gone. So, and that's when I hooked the power supply back up to it and was using it like an MFJ power supply. And then I acquired this one. So it's like, that'd be good to run it on. And it gives it some exercise. And he's just sitting there doing nothing until I go somewhere. So But yeah, it's done the trick, that's for sure. I need to at least, I've got some of those little digital voltmeters and volt and amp meters. I need to rig one up and tie it in line to see what it actually is. That way I could actually monitor the voltage. And it'd be interesting just to unplug the charger and see how long I could run. And, I'm like you, I know this battery chemistry does run a long time. It stays pretty much on top, and then it just bottoms out towards the end. But yeah, you can get a lot of good use out of it that time, too.
Video by the owner of the company. He was like being interviewed by one of the guys who does the YouTube videos on different products. And the owner of the company knew what he what he's talking about, because he was talking about the amateur usage. It really is good, because he said, when the 705 first came out, everybody was talking about running a 12 volt battery and like to buy a Leno. And they said, well, 12 volts won't run it. And, 12 volts will run it. It'll run on 7.4. I mean, I'm going to buy it. It'll run on 8, actually. It won't run 10 watts. But the thing about it is they don't run 12. They run, like I said, they'll sit around. This one is set around between 13.2 and 13.6 for several hours before it started getting down to 13.2. So it just didn't. But I only run it on 5 watts. See, though, Keith, I don't run it on 10. I'm sure it would drain that a lot quicker, but if I don't need it, I don't have to use it. It's good to have that 10 if I needed to. But, I ran lead acid a long time ago myself before, because the old power supplies they used to buy, it's like a piece of luggage almost to get a 20 amp power supply. That was 4 or 5 times bigger than the radio was. Bearcat 3s or 4s or 1, I think it was a 4, had chrome plated thing with ran crystals. I had one of those back in the early 70s, and I got interested in listening to it. They were all crystals. I had one for fire police stuff there in town, but I didn't have anything for amateur radio. And then some years later, about 75 or so, I guess, when all the 11 meter stuff was going on. Of course, I never had a base. I had a couple of mobiles, and I happened to buy a Cushcraft antenna from the car, and the guy said, these folks make amateur radio antennas too. He said, this is a flat antenna, which you buy most places. It kind of piqued my interest, and I got a little kit there that had one of the AWRL tuning in the world. They had a cassette on it, and I've been with it for a while, but I moved up to Virginia down Rock Hill. Guys who worked at the plant with me, when I worked at Springs, he was ham. And he asked me about it. I said, I've always been kind of tempted to do it. I just never have taken the time to. And I was working a split shift. I learned the code when I worked going at 8 and get off at 4 o'clock in the morning. Kind of my extended lunch break between shift changes at midnight. I listened to those code tapes, and I learned the code pretty fast, and took the exam, I think it's 78, the novice exam, and then took the technician, I think in May of that year, and and I had to go to Atlanta to take technician, you know, examine. I passed the 13-word permit code to get my general. I think it was June of 79. I took it up here at Greenville Tech, but I was still living in Rock Hill at the time. But if it hadn't been for him, I've always had an interest in shortwave plus and other stuff. I just never, all I ever heard about the ham stuff. Everybody talked about the code, and I didn't find it that daunting at all. But, you know, some people really struggle with it. He had, this guy that, my helper had, he had trouble with the 13-word permit code for years. And I gave him those tapes. You know, those tapes were set up with the characters were sent at 13. It was spaced at 5 and 7, and then they were sent at 13 words per minute, so you heard that first, you know, that you learned that memory, you know, what the letter sounded like. And he finally passed 13. He'd been a tech for years, though. I mean, he had a WB4 call, and he originally had a WN call, you know, until he upgraded the technician. But I didn't have as much trouble with it, but if it hadn't been for him, my dad, I'd never gotten. I probably would have eventually, but just, I always thought it'd be too time consuming. M4 DJC for ID.
DJC,
M4
DJY. Stacy and Tony and I were talking about that very thing. I was asking them, because they both know CW, asking them how they learned. And they learned exactly the same way by tape. I'd like to get into it, but just don't really know what road to go down to learn it. Stacy was suggesting, you know, just sitting there with the chart and just tapping it out and going for it. And that's probably what I'll end up having to do. That 8x7 has got a CW practice mode on it, but it's hard for me to grasp because when you activate it, it just spits out 5 random characters of CW, and then after the fact, it puts it on the screen. Well, it's kind of hard for me to, you know, get the patterns of the characters and then see the letters after that. Yeah, I'm just going to have to think probably about work on it like Stacy was talking about, and just go down the list and go through the alphabet and then come back and, you know, try doing call sign and CQ and things like that, seeing if I can't work my way up from there.
There's things that once you grasp it, you never forget it. I mean, I can copy. I don't do any CW hadn't done in years, but I can still. Yeah, well, I hear somebody saying, "That's just too fast." I can copy it pretty well, but it's one of those things that, you know, getting that. I mean, I'll be honest with you. 4 tapes, there's no way in the world I'd ever been able to learn. I just, you know, when I was in the Boy Scouts stuff, they'd send it by flashlight, and you know, I could figure out what the heck they were doing. Now, if you had another ham, it'd send you code with a oscillator or something. Yeah, that's a little different, but you know. There just weren't as many ham. Well, there probably more then than there are now, maybe. But towards that, you know, I just didn't know anybody that would do anything like that, not having any in the family. But just start out slow and learn those characters, and learn the characters at a higher speed than what you want to be, because I had to send and receive code. Not that 5 words a minute, it sounded like it was 100 when I first started. But you eventually, you know, most people will eventually grasp it and get it. It takes a certain, it just takes a cadence of something. Once you get it, you start hearing characters and words, and then, you know, of course, you go through a cue set, you'll know, you generally have an idea what somebody's saying, and just the same way you learn, you know, kids learn how to talk. They don't learn the ABCs. They learn words. And that's kind of what it is with code. You know, you have to learn those characters, then learning words, you know, common words that you use, like, you know, QSL and RST and the numbers and the, you know, that sort of thing. It just becomes a second nature after a while. But it's work, and it took me a couple of months really to master even 5 words per minute. But after that, it started coming faster and faster and faster. I never got my advanced or general. I mean, advanced or extra, because I didn't want to take the technical part of the test. in that 20 word per minute. I could copy it 20, but it was tough.
Roger that. Stacy mentioned the same thing that you know, listening for words that you'll get kind of used to it. You're not listening for the rhythm of each individual character. You know the rhythm of the whole word. But that makes it a lot easier when you get to that point. He said he's a little rusty on it too, and he's just started getting back into it and kind of polishing up. But he's already learned it one time, so it'll just be a matter of a little bit of practice, and he'll be back up to speed, I would imagine.
Something else is the best thing that ever happened. As far as personally me, as I was concerned, as far as getting a good grasp on the code, was Matt was there, iambic paddles, you know, back in the early 80s. Now, those things, they just revolutionized it for me. I had a hard time. I can't use a bug. I never could use a vibraflex bugs, and straight keys were just, you couldn't get that rhythm down with a straight key. Now, some people can, but, you know, getting that rhythm is important because, especially if you're learning to send code, you like hearing it. It's almost like a, you know, it's perfect code is what it's sending, and you don't get that with keys. Well, bugs you do, but Tom, you know, in Zero TR, he does bug stuff too. But there is a art to sending and to being able to copy it.
I tell you, I've looked at a lot of those ventures, HamFest and stuff, and I want one just because it's a beautiful piece of hardware. but yeah, I did buy just a cheap, I think it was like 60 or 70 bucks off of Amazon. It's an iambic, you know, a double paddle gear. It's a neat little thing. It's all stainless steel. Set of springs that has magnets in it, and you know, it's straight from China, but it's, as a manufacturing guy, I was really impressed with the quality. Everything is you know, machined out and nicely finished, and then it's got 3 feet on the bottom, and it's actually strong magnets, so you can stick it to the top of the radio. Got the gear, but I hadn't started putting out dents and dodge yet.
What it is, it works, and if it's smooth, and man, when Venture came out with those Ventures, I'm telling you, they were expensive back when they came out. They were $100 years ago, 30 years ago, and I had priced one recently, but I imagine probably $150 for a basic one. They always had, they had a chrome one back then. I just had the regular, you know, black one. They had the crinkle finish on it. But the thing about it, they were so heavy, they'd just stay at the desk. You know, they wouldn't slide around like some of the other ones would. And that was it was like picking up a brick whenever you pick one up anyway. But that helped me. And you know, most of the radios also had, when I started out, most of the radios had the gear. Yeah, you know, the electronic part of the gear built in. I started out when they still had vinyls in the tube vinyl, but most other stuff was transistor stuff. When they came out with built in gears, that really helped a lot too. That's another thing that sold the Ventures, because then otherwise you'd have to buy an external, you know, electronic gear. In addition to the paddles, in order to get the radio to work.
I've seen the gears, the external boxes like you're talking about. And thankfully, getting into it this late in age, I guess about all of everything has it built in now. Both the 7300 and the 857 do. But yeah, I just got work didn't insist on me being there every day, I could probably learn it a lot quicker, but you know how that goes. They insist on me being pretty attentive so they can give me a check at the end of the week. So I kind of stick with that for now. for a few more years anyway. Anyway, Jerry, I think I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to run down and get me something to eat. I'm about to starve. I had breakfast this morning before I went over to speak to you about 98 cents.
I'll let you go. Listen, good talk to you. And tell Stacy I'm sorry I missed him. And I hope everything's okay on his end. But don't forget about that lost Cajun. They're still over there calling you. But take care. Good talk to you again. We'll talk to you again soon, K4CHY and 4DJC. Clear.
Jerry, yeah. And lost Cajun's on the agenda for tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do tonight yet. But yeah, I'm probably going to make a trip over there tomorrow. Yep, good talking to you too. I'm sure probably Stacy just lost his batteries.